What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester. I am joined today by Hani Amadian and Jacob Rude. We are here to finally discuss a Laker win. It's been a while. First one of the year, the Lakers going to Phoenix and get a win over the Suns, 131 to 113. And I feel like that score, honestly, is a little bit closer than the game really was. It was a fun game to watch if you're a Laker fan, for sure. But before we get started, Hani, I mean, I'm sure you're on cloud nine because JaVale had another great game. So, I mean, we talked about it before we went on. You probably just got done watching some highlights of JaVale. And, I mean, you're probably feeling pretty good right now, right?
Listen, it was bound to be. Nevada's ranked seventh in the nation in the preseason polls. JaVale is playing his butt off for the Lakers. All we got to do is sign Cameron Oliver to be his backup, sign Ramon Sessions to be our point guard.
And we'll Hani, this, I'm not going to lie. This might be a record of like how fast somebody's been kicked off this podcast.
Luke Babbitt is still a free agent. Get them all in.
Okay, yeah, no, we're done. Jacob, it's just going to be me and you, okay?
I am down.
And then Jacob and I will start talking North Carolina and Duke, and then I'll kick Jacob off and just be by myself. how you feeling? I know you're up. You're always up late because you're out east there. But man, I mean, it's always easier to sleep at night when the Lakers win, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a lot less burdensome to watch a Lakers win than it is to stay up late and suffer through an overtime loss, like. Doesn't feel as much of a chore tonight. That was a lot of fun. I can't remember the last time we just like sat back and just didn't really do anything in the fourth quarter. Like I hardly paid attention to the fourth quarter because all of the starters were out and it was Lance just hunting for his triple double.
Yeah, you and the entire bench, the Laker bench, didn't care to watch much of the fourth quarter either.
There was the like fans a few minutes. Didn't even, like, they came back from halftime, and like half of the fans, like in the parts you could see it, were gone. Like,
yeah.
It took one half for everybody to just be like, actually, no, we're going home.
That was the most bizarre thing. Like, they showed the Laker bench with like 3 minutes left, and like it was like empty because they had all gone back to the locker room. I don't know what they were all doing, but,
Turns out when the Suns were hyping up this game by posting a graphic comparing LeBron James and Trevor Ariza, it was pretty propped up, you know, pressure.
Hey, that's NBA champion Trevor Ariza, former and
my boy.
Future Laker.
And future.
Trevor Ariza. Oh, man. But no, the Lakers, as I mentioned, I don't want to say big win, but it's just nice for them to get in the win column. They've, you know, first three games, they played very good opponents, three playoff teams in the West from a year ago and competed in all three games, but just weren't able to really finish those games. And tonight they were able to get it done against an obviously inferior team that saw Devin Booker leave due to a hamstring injury. So hopefully he's okay. Well, we wish him a speedy recovery, but nice win for the Lakers. Very nice win. They were in control most of the way, kind of a slow start, but got it going fairly early and had some unexpected heroes, which we're going to talk about in a second. But before we really dive in, remember, if you like the podcast, you can always subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes. And remember, we are keeping track of our records when we tweet the games. I don't want to bring this up, but I'm going to. Hani, you're 0-3 so far. I am conveniently 1-0 now.
Uh-huh. And Gary has told me the last three games he can't tweet. Conveniently, can tweet when we play the Suns. I just want to bring that up.
Yeah, it's weird. I think I'm going to be available when we play like the Kings and the Hawks and the Mavericks, those kind of teams. But
yeah,
Hani,
yeah.
You can take the reins tomorrow night. No big deal. Look,
all I'm going to say is I kicked both of your butts last year. You two were fighting to not be last, and I'm just giving you guys a little bit of a head start to start this year.
No, I don't think we kept track last year. I mean, that never happened. So,
fake news.
But yeah, if you like if you like the podcast, you can subscribe on YouTube and on iTunes. And again, we're keeping track of our records, and the person that comes in last place has to do something. There's going to be some form of punishment, and we are taking suggestions. If you have suggestions, leave us an iTunes review and put it in the iTunes review, and we will definitely take note of it, and it'll go in the bank for the end of the season when that time rolls around. So All right, let's dive into this win. Lakers, I mean, pretty much cruise most of the way. I don't think really any of the starters, I think except for Lonzo, played in the fourth quarter. LeBron got a lot of rest, which is important because they play again tomorrow night back home against the Nuggets. Hani, what was your biggest takeaway from this game?
I will go with the literal big takeaway, and I think this is the first game where they should feel pretty, like, a little bit better about their center rotation. JaVale has been really good all the last few, every single game basically this year. He's been really good for his contract and for what they needed from him. The difference has been that they found Jonathan Williams late in that Spurs game, and both in that game and this game, he has been really, really good. He played 20 minutes tonight. He ended up with 7 points, five rebounds. He had five fouls, which is, I think, is going to be an issue for him. But they really only need 15 to 20 minutes out of a backup center, because JaVale's never going to play more than about 25. So the fact that they found Williams, somebody that they didn't expect to be this good, and really all he's doing is playing, hustling, trying to defend the rim as best as he can, running to the rim. He's basically kind of like a poor man's JaVale out there, which is pretty much all they need. But he's been better than Zubats has, and I think that's huge for them moving forward if he can keep it up.
Yeah, I mean, being better than Zubats at this point is a pretty low bar to clear, but sorry to David Chia, if you're watching or listening to this. I mean, I'm not really sorry. I mean, we go back and forth on Zoo all the time. But yeah, no, I mean, just to get quality backup center minutes, and I think, you know, if he can kind of fill that role, and he is undersized at that, you know, at that position. He kind of struggled at times with DeAndre Ayton, and kind of Ayton just swatted away a couple of his shots and kind of, you know, sealed him down low on the other end and got some easy buckets. But I mean, the thing, and you know, Anthony Irwin pointed this out on Twitter, and I feel conflicted bringing him up on the pod because he's such a
shook my head on that one.
Polarizing figure.
A really good point.
If you say Anthony Irwin three times on the pod, he disappears all of a sudden.
I'm surprised he hasn't hopped into one of these yet.
But no, he brought up the point with Jonathan Williams that I thought was actually a good point. Was Jonathan Williams is the type of player that he's not really like looking to get his own offense. I mean, when you watch him out there, he's looking to go like, where can I go set a screen? You know, where can I go help out a teammate? And that's a valuable guy to have. You know, I think one of my issues with the Lakers last year was I thought they were very talented. They were very young, but very talented. But a lot of the skill sets that guys had were kind of overlapping. And there weren't enough like role guys that just knew what their job was. And I think that's why I like the makeup of this roster, is you have guys like JaVale McGee that understands, you know, what he's on the team for. He's on the team to defend and protect the rim, catch lobs around the basket, rebound, things like that. And you have a guy like Jonathan Williams who comes in and knows he's just got to go play hard. He's got to rebound. Basically same thing, play defense, you know, go set screens and just kind of help out wherever he can, do all the dirty work. And he's been really good. He's been really good. And I think if the Lakers can continue to get quality minutes out of him at that backup five spot, because they're going to mix and match and go, you know, with some small ball lineups and things like that. That's huge. That's huge to get that, especially until Mo Wagner comes back. I don't know what to expect with Wagner. You never, just never know with rookies. And I think he's one of those guys that I would keep expectations fairly low and hope that we're surprised. But I think he is going to, when he comes back, he's going to get some minutes here and there. So hopefully he can chip in as well. But Jacob, you're a big Lance Stephenson guy. So this was probably a really fun game for you to watch, because I declared this about early in the fourth quarter, I think, or maybe late in the third. This was the Lance Stephenson game. He was fantastic tonight. I mean, you obviously had to enjoy watching that.
Did I tweet a frog and tea emoji? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, that was like best case scenario for Lance. I think one of the big things, and it was a legitimate criticism early in the year, he was ball stopping a little too much. I think he's always going to have that. I mean, that's just kind of a natural part of his game. It still happens at times. It's usually later in the shot clock. If he gets the ball and realizes the clock is ticking, he's just going to dance around and put up a jumper, try to get to the rim. But it's, I mean, we joked about it. He was he was looking for assists late, but I think he's done a good job of that in recent games. Of since Rondo's been out, so I guess two games. I don't know if it's a role thing with him where he came in knowing he's the backup point guard, but he's done really good at just finding shooters. I know he had a play against the Spurs where he made a crazy one-handed pass falling out of bounds, hit Josh Hart for a three. He was looking for Svi tonight to get him to score. It's just stuff like that where he's looking to set guys up. He had one play. I want to say it was Kuzma he set up for an open corner three. Kuzma missed it, and then he got the Lance got the rebound and put it in. It's stuff like that. He's going to bring the energy. He's going to bring the kind of flair. I don't know what you want to call it with Lance. But if he can kind of commit to not being a ball stopper on offense, that changes a lot of things about what his potential role could be. Maybe he realized early on that if he holds onto the ball as much as he had been during the preseason, that he's not going to play. Maybe he watched Svi hit 27,000 straight threes in practice and realized, oh, crap, I got to change things. But I don't know. The last two games, maybe it's just a small sample size. But I think the last two games he's played really well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he could have played any better tonight. I mean, we saw a little bit of defense. I mean, he shot the ball exceptionally well. He was 10 for 14 tonight, made one of his two threes, 23 points, eight boards, eight assists, only three turnovers, a couple of steals. I mean, Lance was amazing tonight. Like, I felt like I was watching like 2011, 2012 Lance with the Indiana Pacers. He was something else. So was that, Jacob, was that your biggest takeaway from tonight, or did you have another one?
The other one for me, which I talked about a little during the game, the number got up a little bit toward the end in garbage time. But, I mean, up to garbage time, the Lakers only had three turnovers tonight. They finished with eight, which even then is a small number. But before they kind of pulled everyone out, so for the better part of three and a half quarters, they only had three turnovers. It's something yeah. Honey and I were talking about. For all of the struggles this team has had, they've been really good at protecting the ball, which is a big reason why they've been in some of these games where it feels like they should be losing big. So yeah, that was a big takeaway for me, protecting the ball. And they had at halftime, they had like two turnovers, 18 assists, and seven steals, something like that. They finished with 13 steals, 34 assists, and eight turnovers. So, I mean, if you're going to have a night like that, you're going to win most games.
Yeah, that was going to be – I had three things I wanted to bring up, and that was one of them. The assists to turnover ratio was amazing tonight. 34 assists, eight turnovers, like you just said. That's going to get it done. You take care of the basketball. Because when you look at the shooting percentages, the Lakers shot 52%. The Suns shot 52.4%. The difference was the Lakers had 16 more shots than the Suns did tonight. So that's one thing that's really big. Another thing for me was the rebounding. The Lakers got out rebounded 44 to 43, so pretty much dead even. Lakers had two more offensive rebounds. But for this team, it's just so big that they don't get dominated on the glass. If they can keep it relatively even with the pace that they play and really the efficiency that they've had offensively, they're able to get shots in the paint. And really, they've gotten a lot of really good looks. You know, as many struggles as this team has had defensively, I think they've been equally as good offensively. I mean, I'm almost astonished at how good they've been offensively so quickly. You know, just like I said, they're getting the shots that they want. And I mean, the 3-point shooting has been an issue so far up until really tonight, but they've had open looks. They just haven't made them. And that was second point was they made threes tonight. Like that's so big for them if they can make 3-point shots. And Josh Hart, especially in his first start, man, he's been lighting it up from the 3-point line. I think Mike Trudell tweeted it out at one point. He said Josh Hart was 12 of 23 on the year, I think, from three. So, I mean, shooting over 50% from the 3-point line is pretty crazy. He was 4 for 6 tonight. I mean, he was a plus 21 on the floor, 15, 15 points, just kind of did a little of everything here and there. But yeah, I mean, being able to finally knock down threes and take care of the basketball and not get crushed on the glass. I mean, those were really kind of the three biggest areas, besides obviously the defense as a whole. For me, they had to clean those things up, and tonight they finally did. And you know, we saw the result. Obviously, they're playing against the Suns, who are probably going to be one of the worst teams in the West or in the entire league. Who knows? But it's good to see them take care of business against the team that they're supposed to. Because if you want to be a playoff team in the Western Conference and you want to get, you know, even a higher seed, like a 4 or 5 or whatever, these are the types of games you got to win. Even on the road, it's hard to win on the road, but taking care of business against the teams that you should beat, you know, that's just such an easy way to rack up wins. And for this team, it's just good to get a win under their belt, you know, together as a group. And hopefully this is something that can springboard them going forward. But
I thought this was also the best, I guess one other takeaway, the best that LeBron and Lonzo looked together this season.
Yeah. No, I mean, you'd almost be hard pressed to find a Laker in this game that didn't really play well. I mean, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had his frustrating moments, but he still poured in 14 points, 6 of 14 shooting. He only shot 1 of 6 from the 3-point line. So, you know, hopefully that comes around, but I mean, a lot of guys definitely played just a lot better. You know, Lonzo had a couple of shots in the paint that, you know, we saw the last couple games him pass out, and today he went all the way to the rack and then he finished. So just a lot of really good things to see tonight. JaVale was awesome blocking shots. He had 4 block shots, just, you know, affecting a lot of shots on defense. I mean, all around performance, it was great. You know, I don't know what it is. Hopefully, I mean, if we could just schedule like at Phoenix to be our season opener next year, because whatever it is, it seems to be our first win of every season now. That'd be great, but you know,
it'd be a pretty boring opening night.
It'd be a win, Jacob.
All right, I'll take a win over excitement.
Just have them trade for Goran Dragic again, and there'll be a fight, and it'll be interesting.
We'll bring back Sasha.
LeBron and Lonzo, just to kind of cap off that point, played 20 minutes together tonight. Had an offensive rating of 129.5 and a defensive rating of 102.4 together. So, yeah, that was safely in an assist percentage of 77.3. That was safely the best those two had looked together this season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a fun game. The Lakers should just do that every night, if you ask me.
That game, yes. I mean, that game is a lot more fun to come on and talk about than whatever Monday's game was, which is still hard to even put into words.
And it was crazy because I think I tweeted this out, but from the account, but it felt like the Lakers would have been up like 35 to 40 points if they just made layups. You know, like JaVale missed, I think, a dunk and a layup. LeBron missed a couple layups. I mean, they missed a lot of good opportunities around the basket, and they still scored 131 points and really just cruised to a victory. So that's kind of you know, that just kind of goes to show what kind of game it was for them and, you know, their performance tonight. So, and that was big. It's big to get that win, big to get rest, because the Nuggets, like I said, Nuggets come into town to tomorrow, and that's going to be a very tough game. I believe they're still undefeated unless they play tonight, but they picked up some good wins. They beat the Warriors at home. Hani, I mean, I'll throw it to you first. With the Nuggets, I mean, what's going to be the big key to, I guess, kind of, we could say, pulling off an upset against them?
I never thought I would say this before the season started, but it's going to be how we manage with their defense. The Nuggets have been amazing defensively to start this year. Nikola Jokic, I think, gets underrated because he's kind of a slow white dude, but he's a better defender than people give him credit for. Paul Millsap is back, and he obviously is always going to help their defense. They've been holding good teams. I'm pretty sure they held the Warriors to under 100 points, which is insane for this season considering how much teams are scoring.
Yeah, 98 points.
Yeah. So basically what I'm looking at is the Lakers' half-court offense. We still don't know a whole lot about it because of how much they run. But if they're going to beat a team that's so good defensively, they're going to need to execute really well in the half court as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how LeBron kind of tries to pick them apart, how Lonzo does that, and what kind of shots they can get.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be an interesting game, a very, very tough test for the Lakers. And it's a team, obviously, they have a little bit of history with last year with the whole Jamal Murray and Lonzo Ball stuff. And there was, you know, the classic Isaiah Thomas smiling at Nikola Jokic on his way past him.
Not going to lie, I miss Isaiah. So like, I would want him back for just this game.
That picture should be the 17th championship banner at Staples. Put
it up in the Oh, all right. Jacob, what are you looking forward to in tomorrow's game against the Nuggets?
I mean, hopefully another crossover on Jokic and a laugh as you go to the rim. No, I thought the defense played well tonight. I 108 defensive rating, I would assume, is probably their best this year. So I guess that the Nuggets always have a really good offense. Jokic is always really hard to stop. So I guess that would be the thing I'm kind of looking for is how well they defend the Nuggets. I thought at times it was feast or famine tonight defensively. I thought overall they played well, but there were times where Devin Booker's just walking down the lane for an uncontested layup. So it was a better performance tonight, but there's certainly still things that they need to improve upon. I'm looking at the stats for tonight's game. In 26 minutes, Josh Hart had a defensive rating of 88.5.
Jesus.
So, yeah, that would be a big thing for me. It's just the defense, how they respond. Winning solves a lot of things. It takes some of the pressure off. It's always I mean, getting the first win is always kind of a landmark thing, I guess. So it just takes some of the pressure off in that regard. So hopefully they play a little more loose and are able to kind of build on tonight's performance, particularly on the defensive end.
Yeah, the matchup I'm really looking forward to, and it probably feels silly to say about really a LeBron matchup, but LeBron matching up, I mean, because I'm assuming he's still going to be at the four. So I'm curious to see how he does against a guy like Paul Millsap, because LeBron, as much as I love LeBron offensively on defense, there's been a lot of times where he hasn't really shown much effort or he's gotten lost. There was one today where I was legitimately wondering what he was doing, because he like ran in this giant circle and then left Ariza wide open.
I remember that.
He immediately put his hand up with like, my bad. But I honestly have no idea what he was doing. But you know, I mean, Paul Millsap's a really good player. And, you know, if the Lakers go small, you might see LeBron on Jokic. And so you can't have those defensive breakdowns against, you know, good players like that. The Lakers just, you know, got torched by LaMarcus Aldridge the other night, you know. So guarding good big guys is going to be important for them, and keeping JaVale out of foul trouble. And, you know, that's going to be it's just tough because JaVale can't play, you know, a certain amount of minutes, you know, because of his asthma and things, you know, things like that. So that's the matchup I'm looking forward to, is like, how engaged is LeBron going to be on defense? You know, that's going to be important, because, you know, he's going to play a lot, you know, unless the game's just a blowout either way. And, you know, I mean, if the Lakers are getting blown out, then obviously LeBron probably didn't play that hard on defense, I guess, but I wouldn't just put it on him. But that's the matchup I'm looking forward to. But the Nuggets have, I mean, they're kind of a deep team, and they've got kind of a lot of X factors. You know, another guy that's really an underrated player for them is Gary Harris, and mostly just because of his first name. But no, Gary Harris is a guy that's really good. I mean, he's a good shooter. He's an underrated scorer. He can create, and he's a good defender. So just a really solid all-around player that nobody really talks about. So I'm curious to see that matchup, like him against Josh Hart, I would assume is going to be the matchup, and that'll be fun to watch. Plus we'll probably get Jamal Murray against Lonzo, so
yeah,
that's
it's a fun matchup. I mean I was gonna say it'd be fun to see in the playoffs, but probably it wouldn't be fun, it'd be stressful. But
yeah,
the two teams match up in interesting ways. I'll be interested to see what they do in the preseason, Kuzma was playing small ball five, not very well against the Nuggets. Yeah. So I mean, they haven't done it the last two games. It seems like Jonathan Williams is the five now, which makes more sense as a matchup. So I'm interested to see if they try any of that small ball five stuff, or if they just stick to Jonathan Williams as a backup five and maybe stretches of having Kuzma at the five if the matchup is right.
Yeah, they definitely have to find ways really to just get LeBron and Kuzma on the court together. And because those two have looked so good together. And I guess it's not surprising with how active Kuzma is. He moves without the ball. He cuts, you know, he can shoot, things like that. So it's not overly surprising, but it's just been, it's surprising to me how effective it's been, you know, like right away. But I mean, this is another game that it's, you know, it's a test of the Lakers who, you know, have a lot of new faces and they're dealing with the suspension to two of their, you know, regular rotation guys, two starters, at the time they got suspended, against a team with a lot of, you know, roster continuity, right? A team that's been together for a couple years now and kind of understands each other a little bit better. And just another tough challenge. I mean, the Nuggets weren't a playoff team last year, but I mean, they did tie.
Barely.
Yeah.
I mean, it came down to that last game, right? With them and the Timberwolves. So they were a playoff caliber team, even though they didn't make the playoffs. So the tough schedule to start.
The suspensions right now are almost, I mean, right for this particular matchup, are almost a blessing in disguise, because you're not struggling to get Ingram on the court with Kuzma and with Lonzo and with Hart. It's a little more of a natural rotation, with Kuzma being a natural four and Williams being a natural five. I mean, you mentioned off air that it'll be interesting to see what they do when Ingram comes back. But for right now, it kind of clears up the rotation a little bit. And at least for this matchup, probably for the better.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's going to be very, very interesting. I feel like the Lakers always play the Nuggets on the second night of a back-to-back. I feel like usually it's in Denver. So this is shout out to the NBA for, you know, throwing half a bone, but no, it's a tough matchup. It's a tough matchup on the second night of a back-to-back. Very good team. You know, a lot of people kind of forgot about the Nuggets going into this year. And, you know, when we did our roundtable right before the season and we predicted where the Lakers would finish in the West, I actually had the Nuggets as one team that would finish ahead of them, just because I think the roster continuity for them was going to be big this year, because they had a good young roster. And, you know, at a certain point, the, you know, young guys just kind of figure it out. They either figure it out or they don't. So there's a lot of teams, I think, in the West that we're starting to see that with. The Timberwolves seem to have it figured out, and then now I don't really know what to think of them. So hopefully the Lakers don't go down that route. But before we sign off, fellas, anything else you want to add?
One more thing for tomorrow that I'm kind of looking for is how they guard Jokic, especially when JaVale isn't on the court. I feel like the Lakers kind of have a habit of digging down and either half, like fake doubling a big guy in the post or actually doubling them. And to me, that seems like basically just accepting your fate with Jokic, because of how good of a passer he is. He's going to pick them apart if they do that. So I'm wondering what sort of things, if they're just going to guard him one-on-one, or if they have something else brewing for how they're going to guard him in the post.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point too, because the Nuggets can surround him with shooters. You know, even a guy like Millsap can step out and be a threat from the perimeter. So
yeah,
that's tricky. I mean, when we saw the very first preseason game, Juancho Hernangómez, I mean, lit the Lakers up from three. So they've got shooters that come from, they can come at the Lakers in, you know, in waves in different areas. And that's going to be very, very interesting to watch. That's it's always just tricky whenever you're defending, you know, a really good post passer that can also score out of that, you know. So I guess we're just going to have to trade for Isaiah Thomas, get him to just cross him over and humiliate him, and then that'll be that. I mean, exactly. It worked last year, so. No, I feel like that's going to be Lance this year.
Oh, boy.
I feel like here for it.
I feel like he wouldn't end it at just the smile.
Lance would literally skip all the way back down on defense.
I am here for it. Oh, buddy. I wasn't even thinking of that, but now
he'll do a 360 and run back as the ball.
He'll do a 360 layup after crossing him over.
And then he'll run back celebrating as the ball is falling off the rim and not going in.
Worth it.
Speak it into existence, my friends. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this time. The Lakers, 1-3, one of hopefully many wins this year. Good to finally just get one in the win column there. But again, I mentioned this at the start of the show, but if you like the podcast, you can subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes. And remember, we are keeping track of our records, tweeting the games. Hani is 0-3. I am 1-0. Jacob is 0-0. So Jacob and I are both undefeated. Shout out to Jacob.
I am carefully choosing. There's a Mavericks game coming up that I'm eyeing as my debut from the account.
Oh man,
I am gonna let I'm gonna do my talking at the end of the year.
Yeah, this is gonna be really awkward when Hani ends like 38-3 or something. But no, again, if you leave us a review on iTunes and you have a suggestion on what the punishment is going to be for the person with the worst record, leave it in an iTunes review and it will go into our notes and we'll take a look at what we want to do at the end of the year. So you can have a lot of fun with it. I mean, keep it relatively appropriate. but yeah, no, like I said, we can have a lot of fun. Leave that in an iTunes review. You can find all of our stuff on LakersOutsiders.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff, and Podbean as well. And yeah, Lakers win. Feels good to say it. And hopefully we get to say it after tomorrow night against the Nuggets. We'll be here. So stay tuned. And for Hani and Jacob, I am Gary Kester signing off.